He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, January 4th edition of the Best Stocks Now show. It's 2024 still, getting this thing started. I'm sitting in for Bill for the moment, and he should be in here in a bit. We're getting at a little connection issue here for a moment, but we're getting things off started. Finally got a little bit of green on the screen to start 2024. We haven't seen that yet. And we've got the Dow up 173 points to 0.46%. We've got the S&P 500 up 7 points. And let's see, we've got the NASDAQ is actually the only one in the red here, down 0.21% today. Let's see, we've got crude oil continues to kind of be a bit of a thorn in the side of inflation, potentially long term, with price of oil up 0.5% today at $73.05. And we've got gold at $2,040 an ounce, and Bitcoin bouncing back a little bit today, up 1.48%. But again, this is the Best Stocks Now show. It's the Thursday, January 4th edition. I'm Barry Kite, serving as your host at the moment here. Bill had a little power issue and we'll be up and running here in a moment. In terms of the market, we've got got a little bit of news today in terms of the economy. Of course, it's a Thursday, so we've got initial jobless claims coming in. Jobless claims came in, decreased pretty good from the last report. Came in at 202,000. That's a good bit lower than the 217,500 that was expected, and also compares nicely with the 220K that we had the week prior. So those, of course, are just weekly data points that we get, of course the market at this point has been pretty data driven, particularly on the interest rate side. But the economy continues to show some resiliency from there. But in terms of the market, still market still continues to kind of try to get its feet underneath itself for 2024, as Bill has chronicled. We've had kind of gone through this great rebalancing session. We'll see how that continues to play out. Like I said, with the S&P and the Dow in green today.
Yeah,
and the
Barry, NASDAQ. I'm here.
Oh, here we go.
We had a power surge here just as we opened the show. I yelled at my wife, honey, did you pay the electric bill? She ran and... No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, look, you know what's funny? It's another day. The high P.E. NASDAQ down. The right. Low P.E. Dow is up. We're having a fairly good day here so far because we've got a couple of stocks here that are doing well. We put in some inverse NASDAQ stuff at the end of the year. The NASDAQ as of yesterday was down 2.8% year to date. That's just in 2 days of action. So, I think it's got further to go. I think there's going to be a bigger, further correction in the NASDAQ. It started off the year as overbought. I have to go back to the year 2000 to see the NASDAQ as overbought as it was during that last 6 weeks of 2023. Back in the year 2000, if anybody remembers that, that was the year that the NASDAQ went down, it went down 79% over the next 18 months or so. That was an overvalued problem. The individual stocks were overvalued. We had more of an overbought problem, where, gorging at the buffet line on tech stocks And that just some of that has to come off here in January. I think it's going to continue to be kind of a volatile January, just as we predicted.
Yeah, and that gorging, you know, caused those stocks to even make up more of an index like the NASDAQ, which can kind of exacerbates a problem at the at the index level potentially as you're trimming some of those names down.
Yeah, well, yesterday you had the Dow down 285 points. The NASDAQ was down 245 points. As I said, the NASDAQ's down 2.8% since the beginning of the year. The great rebalancing act of 2024 continues. It is still underway, and that's what's happening. There's a big rebalancing taking place. The energy stocks had a good day yesterday. I read that one of the major oil fields in the world in Libya is down. I think there's protesters and some upheaval there in Libya. That has shut down one of the biggest oil fields in the world. So the energy stocks had a good day yesterday. The inverse funds, you know, look, we target a few. The most suspect areas of the market are the high-tech stocks and the long-duration high PE stocks, also known as Cathie Wood's holdings. So that's another pretty attractive short hedge at the current time. Lilly had a huge day. Lilly was the stock of the day yesterday. I don't know what got into Lilly, but there was some major buying there. Lilly broke out. We've been talking about their drug Zepbound for a long time, previously known as Mounjaro.
Talk about some gorging, right?
Wow. You know, look, I feel sorry for all of these diet plans and diet books, and this is a major disruptor. That's been one of the themes that I've looked for since I've been in the business, is disruptive products that disrupt an entire industry. And of course, I mean, the king of disruptors was Steve Jobs with Apple, disrupting the music industry, disrupting the camera industry, on and on and on. And I think Lilly is a big disruptor to what is a huge industry, especially this time of year, Barry. January the 4th. How many people are out to lose weight or on diets right now or going to the gym right now? Well, it lasts for about a month, you know, about middle of February. The gym is empty again. And I just think that these two drugs, and the other one is Novo Nordisk, which is having a good day today.
Yeah, they might be. Their new Year's resolution is calling the doctor, right?
Yeah, get a prescription to... I've seen the results, and it's pretty astonishing. And I'm starting to see more and more celebrities
all of a sudden show up,
and wow, where did the pounds go? Was it discipline or was it Zepbound? I don't know. I have my suspicions. Anyways, you talked a little bit about the jobs, and that's another reason the market's down today. Interest rates are up on the jobs news, which was better than expected. You know, you created the private payrolls more than expected, 164,000. We get the non-farm payrolls on Friday, which is tomorrow. Initial jobless claims, which we're starting to inch up. Now, all of a sudden, lowest in 3 months, they inch right back down again.
Right, yep.
But I did see, how about the U.S. job cuts? Did you see anything there? They doubled. Well, they doubled in 2023 for the year. Okay, so
yeah, and I think the headline sounds more dire than it is, right? From an employment standpoint, because you're doubling a number off of a very, very tight labor market. If we remember right, the first group to begin cutting was really these tech names, right? Who trimmed some of their. Some of their fat there a bit, and of course that's it's really part of that rolling recession, right?
Yeah.
In terms of different areas, not everyone losing their job at the same time, which you usually see on economy just falls off a cliff historically.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there is a deal in the oil patch, not that big. I mean, this kind of tells you that there's not a lot of value there. APA, formerly known as Apache Corp, is buying Callon Petroleum in a $4.5 billion deal. You would think Callon would be way up on the news, but it's only up 4.4%, so they're basically buying the company at the market price. And, you know, that just tells you that there's not, like, a screaming deal there to be had in the oil patch. It's a dicey area. It's very unpredictable. It's had a good week or so due to the escalation. Now you've got, the big bombing in Iran. You've got an attack in Iraq. The tentacles of the war continue to spread out beyond the walls of Jerusalem and Israel and into other countries. And, you know, that's not a good thing. Okay, when we come back, yesterday we listed our favorite stock of 2024. I'm going to list number two when we come back. It's the countdown, the 10 best stocks of 2024. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, we're going to turn the time machine here back to spring, summer 2011, Barry. There was a book that came out called The Best Stocks Now 2011, Unconventional Picks from a Pro. The List Will Shock You by Bill Gunderson, professional money manager and radio shock talk show host, Best Secrets Revealed, as not seen on TV. Advice you won't hear from the analyst. I still repeat the same mantra. These are things you will not hear on the business networks. They just don't. They seem to be very sleepy. I also wrote in 2011 why sitting on the sidelines may be hurting your portfolio. Well, you know, how far has the market come since 2011? And then I wrote how to own stocks of today and not yesterday. Do your stocks make the grade? Okay, now we turn to page 117. I featured 52 stocks at the time. One of the biggest ones, Novo Nordisk, NVO, headquartered in Denmark, in the drug industry. Market capitalization at the time was $70 billion. It was a large cap. Well, it's now $475 billion. It's added $400 billion. And always in market capitalization.
Yeah, and it's always the what it may be at the current time the highest market cap company in the Eurozone.
It was
between that and LVMH. So
yes, LVMH is let's see, $475 billion for Novo Nordisk, and Louis Vuitton is 381. So it's way. It's almost $100 billion past
it. Just passed them a month ago or something. So really screamed past them. They must be both going in different directions.
Yeah, they're going in different directions. Well, I can't say that Louis Vuitton has come out with anything as earth-shaking as Novo Nordisk. But at the time, Novo Nordisk was the world's leading producer of insulin. It had averaged the previous 10 years 22% per year in capital stock price appreciation. The S&P 500 had been flat for the previous 10 years. So it clobbered. It blew away the returns of the S&P 500. That's called alpha.
You got some other good ones in there. Shopify, Trade Desk, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I think I did okay. Yeah. And the short-term performance was very good. The valuation at that time, I had 94% upside potential over the next 12 months. Well, it easily attained that. And I also said that Novo Nordisk had demographics on its side, because the more overweight the population becomes, the worse diabetes becomes, and the better they're positioned for the future. Well, now not only do they have the insulin and the diabetes drugs, but they have the weight loss drug. So we'll make that our number two pick for 2023. And I want you to look at the chart today. Look at the chart today. That is just a beautiful, beautiful chart on NVO. That's a fresh breakout on Novo Nordisk. And let's just take a look here at the Best Stocks Now app and see what it's currently saying about the valuation, because that should be a concern for all of us in the market this year. Valuation is going to be very, very important. Right now, my five-year target price on NVO is 91.7% higher. 91.7% higher than where it is today. The stock is number 23 rank overall. 23 rank overall out of about 5,600 stocks. And there's news on Novo Nordisk today. Now, they're not a one-trick pony. They're signing research deals on cardiometabolic diseases. The winner here for them is they're going to collaborate with Omega Therapeutics, OMGO, or OMGA. And by the way, OMGA is up 111% today. That just shows you how respected Novo Nordisk is, okay? You get chosen by NVO to be a collaboration partner. OMGA up 109% today. So anyways, look, there's no guarantees, but you know, I just think over the years we've tried to find disruptive companies with disruptive products that disrupt an entire industry. And you know, I mean, one of the biggest industries around is the weight loss industry. And you know, I'm starting to see like I think the weight loss industry knows they're in trouble. I'm seeing posts, I'm seeing articles. I started taking Mounjaro, and I almost died. You know, I think maybe the weight loss industry is planning some articles out there. These drugs have been on the market for a long time. Now, I'm not saying they don't have any side effects, and I'm not saying that there may not be something bad that comes from them. But these drugs have been around a long time. They're just being repositioned as weight loss drugs. And if they were like having bad,
yeah, it's like a rebrand.
Yeah, if they were having bad effects, we'd have kind of known it by now. So, anyways, we'll just make Novo our number one pick for this year's Lilly, which had a huge day yesterday.
It's like turning a soda into an energy drink. It's already
well,
got the
you know,
caffeine in there. Right?
I was reading about Pepsi. You know, Pepsi, you think, is this boring old company that how much more growth can they have in it? Well, they totally caffeinated the company by buying Rockstar. And Rockstar is one of their biggest brands in the world for energy drinks. And they also have a big investment in Celsius, C-E-L-H, which is the fastest-growing energy drink out there.
And would you say, I think it was the best stock in the last 10 years or something? Remember when you...
Yeah, Celsius is right up there as one of the best-performing stocks, and it's still a little company, $13 billion. But the story on Celsius had a big day on Tuesday, I think. And I thought, well, what's going on at Celsius? Because we own it in our emerging growth portfolio. Celsius is just now starting to take their brand outside of the U.S. You know, taking it to the world.
Wow.
We got to caffeinate the world.
It's kind of like what Red Bull did from over in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, he became a billionaire on his Red Bull. Now, the story I always tell is, you know, I was in Southern California most of my life, and there was a little company called Hansen's Natural Soda. And the Suns took it over and turned it into Monster Energy. And that became one of the biggest winning stocks of all time. So anyways, disruptive companies. Otherwise, you go with the same old, like we see from the big wirehouse firms all the time. The same old, Johnson & Johnson, IP. When's the last time they had a disruptive product? We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, where we have the Dow is kind of surging right now. The Dow's up 179, and the NASDAQ is down 19 right now. I haven't had a chance to really look into underneath the surface of the market, but we'll do that in the final segment of the show. You know, people ask me all the time, why don't you write another book? Well, I write one almost every Friday and Saturday, another
yeah,
chapter.
At worst, a chapter. Yeah.
I add another chapter to the book every Friday, every Saturday, and it's current. Problem with the book, it gets pretty stale pretty quickly. It's like a loaf of bread the way the market moves these days. So it's all you got to do is go to my website, GundersonCapital.com, and you never know what disruptive stock, you know, that's going to show up in that newsletter. I think Deckers has been a disruptive stock here with their latest shoe, which is taking on Nike. And there's just numerous, you know, obviously Novo Nordisk and Lilly with their big discoveries here. Pretty big news there. Okay, well, let's take a look at what else is going on here in the market. Your keyboard is going to get a change. The first time in 3 decades, okay?
What are we going to learn how to type again?
What key do you think they're going to add to your keyboard? I thought maybe it'd be an Amazon key or a DoorDash. You know, see, just push the button and it'll be in your door in 10 minutes. No, Microsoft's going to add a Copilot AI button. Copilot AI. So then you don't even have to, you just push that button and you can go home. And ChatGPT will take over and you're done. But, you know, it's going to combine the power of large language models, Microsoft graphs, calendars, emails, chats, documents, meetings, more. That's coming to a keyboard near you. Piper Sandler downgrades Apple. Now, I picked this out because this is definitely a trend. Apple stock, which we sold last year because I just don't see anything disruptive coming out of them or anything innovative coming out of them. And, you know, the phones are just incrementally better now than now. Supposedly, the next big one, there is a kind of a leak out today about a big major upgrade to the camera. Is that going to be a big thing? Will that be a game changer? I'm not so sure.
I mean, all I know is there's so many more pixels in the camera that you already have compared to, you know, what's happened over the last 100 years in photography.
I think the photography is beautiful.
Yeah, it's hard to improve.
It's really, I mean, it almost makes your phone almost makes you a professional photographer. But I guess, you know, I remember the big telescopic zoom lenses that we had and all the filters that we had. And I was into photography a little bit. I used to go to, we lived really close to the San Diego Sports Arena where all the rock concerts were. And my dad got 4 free tickets to every event in the sports arena. And they were good tickets, like front row. And so I was in the front row for Paul McCartney, Eric Clapton, Led Zeppelin, just about all of them, Elton John. And I learned photography. I had a camera, 35-millimeter camera. I have boxes of pictures of all these rock stars that I took in my day. In fact, one of the guys I used to take with me, I was pretty popular in high school because I had four seats.
I would imagine. Yeah, you had three other seats, right?
Yeah, like some of the bands. But you know what? We saw mostly the top acts of the day. I mean, I was really blessed to see some of the great artists of all time.
And the Doors?
I never saw the Doors. I saw the Doors at Fairplex. My wife and I were at the horse races at the L.A. County Fair one day. And after the horse races, the Doors were 70 years old by this time. Jim Morrison was long gone.
Long gone. But...
And Ray Kinsera, the organ, he didn't look all that great in leather pants anymore. But we did hear all the great Doors music and the infield of the racetrack at Pomona. Of all places, you know, to see the Doors. But anyways, I mean, the photography has come so far. What's in that camera now? So I just don't know. I mean, I'm not a fan of Apple stock, and I see a lot of downgrades here recently. Now, there was a stock yesterday that was up 301%. And when I saw the name of it, I said, that's got to be from San Diego. Because the name of the company was Longboard Pharmaceutical. Now, a longboard is what you use when the surf is small. You can't use a little short board that darts in and out of the waves. When the waves are 18 inches or 2 feet, you have to use a longboard. Well, I looked it up. Sure enough, they're in La Jolla, California, where I grew up not too far from La Jolla. But they had some kind of a discovery. They're doing a big secondary offering, which is usual, but it rockets 316% yesterday on positive data. I think it was on some kind of a cancer drug or something like that. But you can look that up. The symbol is LBPH, LBPH. Red Sea ship attacks and ocean freight rates soaring. Houthi rebels attacked a Maersk ship last weekend. It caused carriers to suspend plans to restart transit through the Red Sea. You know, that Red Sea is a dangerous, dangerous passage through there. Then you arrive there at the Suez Canal, which is pretty tricky and pretty dangerous itself. But now, you know, look, what's the alternative? You have to go around the Horn of Africa. That's a big side trip.
Yeah, well, and I mean the insurance rates. We noted, went I think from 10,000 to basically 100,000. They went up tenfold. And that's even if the ship will go through the path. Right?
Yeah. So, anyways, I'm seeing these shipping stocks doing pretty well. But you know what? They go up and down. It's a pretty volatile industry. But rerouting through the Horn of Africa would be like us going from South Carolina to Florida via Nebraska, right? Or something like that.
Right.
Way, way, way out of the way. Okay, we've got Alaska Airlines takes their first delivery of Boeing's. Boeing's making a 737 now that's long range. So Alaska's now got a flight from Alaska to New York City nonstop. How about that? We've got Verizon, a lot of upgrades on these Wolf Research, okay? Wolf Research, there's their pick, Verizon, VZ, which, pays a big dividend yield. It's got a low P.E. ratio. These kind of stocks are going to come back into favor. But what has Verizon's growth rate been over the last 5 years? 2% per year. 2% per year. So how can you expect any more price appreciation out of the stock than 2% per year? Marcus Lemonis buys two more. You know, he continues. He wants to be the biggest RV dealer in America. It hasn't been a very good stock, however. Peloton jumps on a TikTok partnership. There you go, Barry. You can be an influencer on your Peloton on TikTok wearing your Lululemon jeans.
I don't want anyone to see me when I'm on Peloton.
But anyways, Peloton is
the point
a
of having
dying
house.
Stock. It's a dying stock.
Yeah.
We do have some earnings out. Walgreens, which I believe should be kicked out of the Dow, and Amazon should replace it. That's my opinion. Walgreens is down 10% today. 10%. You know, I see Walgreens as little bags of chocolate-covered cherries, and that's what I see at Walgreens. I haven't been in a Walgreens in years. But it's the biggest, you know, drugstore chain in the world, I suppose. But the stock down 10%, and it's a member of the Dow. What else do we have? ConAgra. I haven't seen anything innovative coming out of ConAgra recently with their shelf-stable frozen food. Tater Tots. I mean, they've got a few flavors of Tater Tots now. Somebody, Burger King, is serving Tater Tots with cheese. Infused with cheese. That sounds like something worth trying. And then the other one I saw here, Mobileye, which Intel bought out of Israel. That's a auto driving car technology. And then Intel spun it off. I think Intel lost money on it. I've never been a fan of the stock. It's down 24% today on lowered expectations. That's a crowded field, that self-driving car and the autonomous driving. And the question is, will we ever really have autonomous cars? It seems like everybody's getting kind of denied as far as that goes, because there's been a few people killed trying these cars out. Okay, when we come back, we'll take a look underneath the surface. Something is starting to surge here in the Dow. We need to find out what that is. We'll be right back. Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know what? Interesting action in the market again today, and it follows the same exact pattern that began on the first day of the trading year. Okay, I'm looking at the S&P 500, which is a pretty good cross-section of stocks, from high PE stocks to low PE stocks. It pretty much covers every industry. Let's just take a look at the forward P.E. ratios of the leading stocks in the S&P 500 today. Number one, Lamb Weston, which makes frozen potatoes and whatnot. It was spun off, I think, from ConAgra or one of those. And they pretty much in the potato business. They're headquartered in Eagle, Idaho, which is just outside of Boise. It's up 4.3% today. Forward P.E. ratio, 17. Now, I'm kind of seeing a line in the sand here with stocks. 20, 19, 20 kind of seems to be the line on forward P.E. ratios. Number two stock, Xerox, out of Norwalk, Connecticut. Forward P.E. ratio, 7. That's a single-digit P.E. Number three, Allstate. You're in good hands. I like how when they kick field goals in these college bowl games, the net has this big hand. Like, right. You know, we all know that that's the Allstate logo. Forward P.E. ratio is 14 on Allstate. And, of course, it's breaking out. Why? Because you got two things. You got a low P.E. ratio, and you have companies that benefit. Interest rates are up 10 basis points, and nowhere. No other sector benefits better than the insurance sector. Allstate, forward PE 18, they're having a good day. It's up 6 points.
They make more interest off of their reserves.
Absolutely. Carnival is up 3.4% today. Forward PE ratio, 16. Norwegian Cruise Lines, forward PE ratio, 13. Dollar General, forward P.E. ratio, 17. Vornado Realty Trust, forward P.E. ratio, 10. TripAdvisor, forward P.E. ratio, 13. Now, I would say this. If the reason is these stocks are what are in. If you buy a mid-cap value ETF, you're not buying one stock. You're getting 50 or 60 or 70 stocks. And the criteria is really nothing more than P.E. ratio. That's probably the number one criteria. So they're buying large swaths through ETFs as they rebalance away from growth to value. United Airlines, forward P.E. ratio, 4. Royal Caribbean, forward P.E. We haven't found one north of 20 yet, okay? It's 12, Royal Caribbean. PTC, 38. 38. PTC is, I think, 3D computer company. The best 2D, 3D computer-aided CAD-CAM design. So you can see, well, let's just do a few others. Merck. Merck is a forward P.E. ratio of 13. Wells Fargo, forward P.E. ratio of 9. DaVita, 14. Insight, 21. Oh, there's a high one. General Motors, 14. So that's the drift. Now, as we go to the other side of the scale, the stocks that are selling off the most today are the higher P.E. stocks. Etsy, NXP Semiconductors, Albemarle, the lithium stock, Enphase, selling off again. That's just the drift of the market. And really kind of nowhere to be found, once again, are the big tech stocks. They are definitely absent from today's move once again. So you ask, is the rebalancing over yet? No. How long will it take? Well, however long it takes. There's a lot of big firms out there that are in the rebalancing mode right now. There's a lot of individual brokers, Barry, that are reviewing their clients' portfolios, and they're saying, hey, he's way overweighted here in large cap tech. So this is going to go on for some time, I think. I think the whole month of January, really, if you want to know the truth, I think it's going to take quite some while to get everything kind of back into whack after such an out of whack year. You know, I read, and I showed this indicator. One of the indicators I watch is the relative strength indicator, because it really shows oversold and overbought.
Right.
It's also known as the RSI indicator. And that's the one that I keyed in on about 3 or 4 weeks ago in my newsletter. I said, I've never seen this thing this overbought. And I saw an article today by somebody else who follows that indicator. And they said that was one of the most overbought days or weeks that they'd ever seen in the relative strength indicator, the RSI indicator. So that's just a little tip. If you want to know, if you're looking at a stock, you have to be careful when a stock is overbought.
And remember, I mean, these big mutual funds, they can't just sell, you know, if they want to, you know, cut back on NVIDIA, they can't just sell it all in, you know, day one, because
no,
of the fact that they're going to move the market, right? They're it's like turning
a,
you know, the Titanic. They're not you know, nimble. You know, like we are, for example. And so, you know, it takes time to unwind those positions, right? And so that, you know, that kind of leads to your, you know, thought process of it, you know, lasting a little bit, right?
Well, I'll be writing about it again tomorrow. I mean, by Thursday, I start thinking about this weekend's newsletter. We'll have all of the analysts are back to work, hopefully. We'll start getting new numbers here and adjusting our price target for 2024 based on earnings forecast. That's the number one indicator for the market is earnings. Earnings, earnings, earnings. It's the number one indicator for stocks. The relative strength indicator is basically showing you the supply and the demand equation. And sometimes, you know, the supply gets way ahead or way behind the demand, or it shows the accumulation and distribution probably would be a better way to look at it. And when it's way up above the line, it's overbought. And when it's way down below the line, that's extremely oversold, which a lot of the inverse funds were as oversold as I've ever seen them during the last couple weeks of December. Okay, to get the newsletter, go to our website, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com, to set up an appointment with us, 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.